Okay, well, we're back in Romans. We're going to see what how far we can get today. We've got been out a couple of weeks for the holiday, but we're going to try to resume, and I'll give a short summary to catch us up, and we'll just keep going. Romans chapter 1, we're going to pick up at verse 11. But again, I'll do just a brief summary to catch us up. So let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege we have to meet again. Father, going through another year and coming up to into 2019, we pray for spiritual progress this year, if you tarry. And we pray for each member here, Lord, that you might strengthen us in the inner man, that we might not only be enlightened as what your purpose and plan is, but that you might strengthen us as we go through day-to-day life situations. We thank you for the body universal. We pray that you would strengthen each one according to their needs. As we go forward, we pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and encourage us in Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans 1. And 11. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." And he's talking to the Romans, and we were found out a few weeks ago as Paul. This is Paul's first letter doctrinally, but not chronologically. And that's by design, where God has so situated his word to not only to let the believers know what he's doing today, but how they came onto the scene as Gentiles. You know, God used to deal with the Jews. And obviously the Romans are not Hebrews. So he's starting off, his first letter is to the Romans, who are Gentiles. And of course, we covered all that, like why Paul, how did he come on the scene? And he says that in verse 1, where he says he was a servant of Jesus Christ and an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. And he in verse 5, he says that his apostleship was for the obedience to the faith for all nations. That is, all nations mean what?
The
world, I would say, yeah, the world. And not only is he the spokesman for today, but he's the spokesman for today for all nations. In verse 6, he says, "Among whom also you are the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." And we talked a little bit about that, where the Romans, they went from enemies of God at that time to beloved of God. Well, that's a dispensational change. That is, God has changed his dealing with from Jews to Gentiles. You know, I don't know if you remember this, that the Jews called the Gentiles what?
Dogs.
Yeah, that's not beloved, is it? So if you're a reader, if you're a careful reader of Scripture, a student of Scripture, you want to know, how do they change from dogs to beloved? Well, you should. You shouldn't just run on to the next verse. And that's where Paul is here to explain how previous dog status has turned to beloved status and saints. And they can find out now not only who they are in God's program, but what he has for them and what he's doing with the Gentiles. And that's what Paul's writing for. In verse 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God, Romans 1:10, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Why do you want to come and see us, Paul? He says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end, or that the end result would be that you would be established. That's what Paul is writing for. You know, when you write a letter, when he writes his letters, most of his purpose, he'll state it in the first few paragraphs. He'll state why he's writing the letter. And he's writing this letter so to let them know that he wants to come there to establish them, to give them a spiritual gift. And we found out that spiritual gift is doctrine. He says that we might be comforted together by the mutual faith of you and me. And when Paul uses faith, he doesn't mean blind faith. He means a specific doctrine, some specific truth that's designed to establish that person. He would call it to edify them. Now, we just went through, we're 2019, but we just had two people, Margie and Bob, they had some trials going through. And most of us probably did. We don't talk about those things, but you need some doctrine to establish you, to root and ground you in what God will do and won't do. I didn't say that he can do anything, but the faith will tell you what he says I will do and won't do today. Thank you. That's why Paul says, I long to see you so you won't be in Rome wondering what God will do or won't do. Now, the same way, I guess today, if he was alive today, Paul would say, if he was in bodily presence today, Paul would say, I long to see you in Memphis that I may establish you. Because even us here, that's why we come, to be established. That's why the local assemblies are designed as establishment centers. I was going to say depot, but establishment centers. Do you think that's going on in the centers?
No, they're getting taught to the world by everyone of doctrine.
So it's, and the reason why it's so hard is because, number one, the doctrine is not Pauline. And when he says, I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, he's not talking about a car and a house and clothes. He's talking about, again, he's talking about the teaching, doctrine. That you would not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul says, I long to see you that I can impart unto you some spiritual gift. Impart. Lucas, you know what impart means? Okay. What do you? Coming from someone and given to someone. How do you think he's going to impart to them? Is he going to bring it in a bag and just drop it off and say, there it is?
Probably not.
Here's a spiritual gift right here. Merry Christmas. And drop it off and say, okay, see you next time. How is he going to impart that spiritual gift? What? Teaching it to him. Right. He's not going to lay hands on them and they get it by osmosis. Through example, and part of that is going to be through his lifestyle. You know, the doctrine and the practice go together. So you can teach, like Bob said, you can teach by example. Because if the doctrine is working in you, then I can see it, and then I can learn from that. But he's going there to impart it to them by teaching. By the faith. The faith. That is, when you see faith, you should automatically think of one verse for sure.
Forsaking all, I trust him.
Okay, two verses. That's true too. I trust him. The faith, you should think of. I was thinking now, my mind now, I'm connecting other verses. But he says, faith comes by
hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Hearing by the what?
Word.
By the word of God. He says, I long to see you, that you, I can impart to you the faith. The doctrine, which is, he what? It's called the what? The word of God. He says, I want to give that to you. That it'll establish you. And establish is to ground, root and ground you, to stabilize you. That you, what you say, that you won't be
tossed
to and fro. By every wind of
doctrine.
See, there's some teaching that you might get that's not the faith. It's not what God wants you to know today to establish you. So he says, I long to see you, verse 11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. And he tells them what it is. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. The mutual faith. We believe the same thing. I want you to believe what I believe. Paul says, I want you, Romans, to believe what I believe. Because what I believe, I made it up.
He didn't make it up.
Just make sure you're listening. He says, what I believe, he just told you in verse 5, that we have received grace and apostleship. An apostle is what? One sent with a message from God. He says, we receive this message from God. He says, for obedience to the faith. You see that? The faith. He's saying this is something specific. He says, and I got it to give to you. To obey. So he says, when I come, I want to share that with you so we can both be comforted. Okay? If you don't know the faith, what's not going to happen? You won't be established and you won't be comforted. Sorry. You know what? You know what I like about the doctrine is, one day when you really gotta have it, you will know if you have it. You'll know. He says, I, verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Now he's saying, I want to come there. I plan to come there. He says, but I was redirected. I think we looked at that where, you know, as Paul being a chosen vessel, is Paul being a chosen vessel? You know, you think about vessel, what do you think of? A container? Yeah. You know, I shouldn't do you guys like that because there you go. He's on the same page. A ship. So I think of chosen vessel. I'm thinking he's. Say it again. Oh, I thought. So he's a chosen vessel, and where God has His course. He says, "My course is already charted out." That's what he said. When he got saved in Acts chapter 9, Paul said, what would you have me to do? And he said, keep going, and I'll have a guy tell you how great things you must suffer for my name. And the moment he said that, he says, he's my chosen vessel. He says, he's in Jerusalem at the time, and he says, he's going to end up, where is he going to end up, Johnny? He said he's going to start in Jerusalem and he's going to end up in Rome. And he's right into his finishing point, which he had not been there yet, is the first group of people, the first assembly that he writes to. And that's by design. So Paul says, I've been wanting to come to see you. And the Lord says, I'm guiding this ship. You don't pull in and go where you want to go. He says, that's your last stop. He said, there's going to be some stops before you get to Rome, because even his experiences, let me try to say this, like, even Paul's experiences through life, I'm just drawing these men. This is Paul in various stages of his course. So he says, if he says, I finished my course, where he gets here, that's the end, right? If he starts here, and then he goes through various stages here, and each stage, maybe he's in Galatia right here, maybe he's in Ephesus over here, Philippi, Thessalonica. I'm just drawing. I'm not saying that that's how. So as he's going along, he starts off with a little establishment. He starts off with a little doctrine. And then he has a little more doctrine. And then he has a little more. And then he has a little more. And then he has a little more. Until he has what? Until he has it all. So when he's writing and he's going through, he'll give what he has to them. And then he'll give what he has to them. And then he'll give what he has to them. And then he'll give what he has. You see what I'm saying? So as he's going along, that's why he says this, that when the Lord saved me, he says, I will come to visions and revelations. So He says, I long to see you that I would impart unto you some spiritual gift that you might be established.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Where he, when he's, as the doctrine increases, how do you think the doctrine increases with Paul? By visions and revelations. See, he's not reading this. He's not reading this, his revelation.
He's getting the revelation.
He's getting
not
it.
Taught by any man.
He's like, taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as he goes through his course, then the Lord gives him more revelation and more revelation that will establish the believers. And not only, like Bob said, it's not only for him, but it's for the believers too. Yes?
Can you break down revelation?
Okay. Where, for example, like this. What's the root word of revelation?
Reveal.
So, when he gets saved, what does he know about God?
He's been persecuting.
Well, not much. He doesn't know much about God. And in Galatians chapter 1. Put your hand in Romans. You know what, Mike? It's just like us. When we first get saved, you know what we know? I just got saved. That's it. I trust him that he died for my sin, was buried, rose again. That's not establishment. That's just salvation. Right?
Read, trust, and obey. Continuous revelation.
Continuous. As your reading continues, where you got one, Galatians, he said this. Verse 11. He says, I certify you, this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. What do you mean, Paul? He says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revealing of Jesus Christ. He says, what I learned, I learned through Christ.
Not Galileo.
Directly. He says, for you heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. You know how he learned the Jews' religion? He went to school. Just like you went to medical school. You didn't walk in the hospital and head off. Where's your diploma? Oh, I learned it at home. I learned it from the Lord. And they're like, okay, we don't operate that way at this hospital. Now, she could say that. They want to see credentials. And that's what Paul, when he starts off, that's why he would say this. Well, let's see what he says. Well, in Galatians, he said this. Verse 14, he says, but and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But it would, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, that's Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with other men.
Wouldn't the heathen also include apostate Israel?
Everybody's the same
okay.
at this point.
Gentile.
He says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Now, an apostle, they get it from God. Remember we were talking about Johnny? Remember the other day we were talking about that?
Before me, but not along with me.
Right. See, he's the only one right now. with this, that's getting this direct revelation, where he says, I didn't go back to any other apostle. What, an apostle has a message from God, right? Why wouldn't he go to another apostle and share what he had? He said, immediately, he said, I didn't check with another man. I didn't check with another apostle. He said, but I went to Arabia. Now, I'm not going to get too sidetracked, but he said, because God says, I want to reveal something to you. If it's had to be revealed, what does that tell you?
It was not known before.
It was not known who? What? Somebody, what did you say? It was hidden. Yes. Now, he said, I went to.
Quick question.
Yes.
So, in chapter 2, when he says he went up by revelation, is he saying that God told him to go up there and tell him what to deal with?
That's exactly what he said. Now, we were talking about that the other day. We say, this is not revelation. If words mean anything, if I have to go up to Mike and reveal this to him. If I go up to Mike and say, hey Mike, the Lord told me to reveal this to you. You saved by grace. I knew that. Wait a minute. How can you know that if God told me to go reveal it to you? I can't reveal something to you if you already know it. And that's what Paul says. He says, I was revealed this message from Jesus Christ. Now, he said, I went to Arabia. You can flesh this out on your own time. Karen said, Mount Sinai. And when you see this, in Mount Sinai, you know, Elijah. Those three men went to Mount Sinai and got
revelation.
So when he tells you, Mount Sinai is in Arabia. So he wasn't just up there hanging around. So, he says, that's how I got it. He revealed it to me, and as he reveals it to me, then I do what?
I reveal it to you.
And if I get it, and it establishes me, and then I give it to you, and it establishes you. That's why, right, he says, now, when I give you what I have, it should produce the same effect in you that it did in me. If it comforted me, guess what? It'll comfort you. If it edified me, guess what? It'll edify you. If it strengthened me, it should strengthen you. That's why he says, I long to see you. Because what I have, you don't have it yet. And as long as I stay away, that's how long it takes for you to get it. Okay, Romans 15. Y'all looking at me funny. Romans 15.
Romans 15.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to grab a couple of things out here. 15:13. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now, the joy and peace comes after what?
Hearing.
What? After hearing, after believing. But you can't hear it. You can't believe it until you hear it. And you can't hear it until it's preached. And it can't be preached until it's given by revelation. And it can't be given by revelation until it's given by revelation. Until it's time. Right. Okay. Verse 20. Yeah, 20. Yeah. He says, yea, this is Paul. 18. He says, "For I will not dare," this is Paul, "I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause," he says, "I have been much hindered from coming to you." That's what he just said in chapter 1. He says, "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." Now, here's Paul making his plans, right? He's making his plans, but he's a chosen vessel. He says, "For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward," or that way, "by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." You know, I like that. I like what Paul, you know, is. So relational. You know, he says, "Man, I want to come and see you." If it was modern day talk, he says, "You know what, I'm going to Spain, but I'm going to stop by your house, Margie. And me and you, we're going to fellowship for a while. And then, you know what, I'm going to go on my way." He says, "Because I really want to sit down and talk to you." That don't mean nothing. He says, but now, "I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It had pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this," or when I have dropped off this money, "and have sealed to them this fruit," which is the money, "I will come by you into Spain." Here's what I want. "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Huh? He says, "When I get to you," he says, "I'm sure He said, I'm sure I'm going to have a whole lot to talk about. And he was right. How did he know that?
Revelation.
He knew that I was going to get more and more revelation. Because the Lord told him. He says, I'm going to appear. He says, I'm going to appear to him. He said, in Acts, I believe it's 26 or 22, he says, I want you to tell him that how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he had, Ananias said that the God had chosen him to hear. You don't have to turn now. I just don't want to mess it up any more than I'm done.
Is that where he says to Gentiles?
He says, and he. No. He says, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. If I had to pick one word, Mike, what would that word be? Paul says, he said, Ananias told Paul, he says, don't worry, Paul, he has chosen you that you should know his will and see that just one and hear his voice. If I had to pick one word, if I said, Mike, here's your $64,000 question. I need that one word that would describe these things that's happening. If Paul says, I'm going to know his will, I'm going to see him, I'm going to hear his voice.
Revelation.
Right. That's what he's saying. He says, you're going to get the revelation, Paul. In chapter 12, for Corinthians chapter 12, he says, without a doubt, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Acts 22:14. So he says, I long to see you. We're back to Romans. He says, I long to see you that I would impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, you know what advantage we have is this. Today, you have everything that Paul wanted to say. You have everything that God wanted to say through Paul to you, to establish you. You have everything that God wanted to say to you to establish you. The only reason we are not established is because we haven't heard him.
And believed him.
And you haven't. What? I said the reason why we're not established is because we haven't heard him.
We don't spend time in the Word and have it.
The Word we don't actually have a stuff, right? Why do you say we're not established?
Well, when I say we, I'm saying believers in general. Yeah. Believers in general. And you know what? And I'll say this. Is just because we know where the establishment comes from, that is Paul, that doesn't mean
that you
are.
We can have the knowledge of it, but we don't employ it.
I would say we're never as good as we should be. But
sure.
It's not that we're not totally established. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect until we're there in heaven. I mean, that's it. Because no, as long as we're on this earth, we'll never be perfect.
Yeah. That's
how you define perfection.
Well, I'm thinking what is our establishment is ongoing. You know what? We have training every Monday.
I was going to say that. And
what you're saying is that we can only be as strong as we put in that work. So our establishment gets stronger as we work towards what we, more or less, the vocation that we profess.
Exactly.
And see, Paul said that we would never reach perfection.
Sure.
He said it's a continuous attempt to reach perfection while we're here on this earth.
Yeah, he just said that same thing in a different way.
We're established, but what about the people that don't necessarily believe? Has it still been revealed to you? I don't know.
Right. So,
well, the revelation comes from the Word of God.
Right.
If you're not in the Word of God, if you're not allowing the mind of Christ to affect you and your thinking, then you're not moving in the direction of...
You're something lacking in your
establishment.
So, for example, Paul said, and we're going to go to the verse 12. If Paul said this, he says, I long to see you. He says, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Paul said this, I long to see you. I long to see you. Okay, here's a Roman. Here's Paul. He says, I long to see you that I can give you the doctrine. Right? To establish you. And we know how he gets it, right? He speaks it. And he hears it. Right? And he believes it. Right? And it establishes him. Right? So, what if Paul never made it? What if he never made it to Rome? They wouldn't be established. Now, Paul is dead. So now, here's how we get it. Paul. Epistle of Paul. To Bob. Epistle to Paul to Bob at Memphis.
What was the last thing Steve wrote after Paul to Bob to what?
To you.
At Memphis.
At Memphis.
In Memphis, oh, okay. Alright. What,
you may not, where you live? You might not live in Memphis. Wherever your resident is.
Okay.
So, he couldn't make it. But he's just as good as there because it's what? It's written. So he says, okay, Bob, I want to tell you this. That's why you can say to Ephesians, he says, if you
have heard
what?
The gospel.
If you have heard of the revelation that was given
to me, to you, I'm just a vessel.
And you say, I never heard that. So if you never heard that, guess what? Like James said, guess what you are not getting? Not getting established, not getting edified. Peace. That's my timer. So he says, when you read... He says when you read, it's able to back to Romans again. He says, now to him
that's
of power to establish you according to
my gospel and the revelation of Jesus.
And the preaching of Jesus Christ
according
to the revelation of the mystery. What I'm telling you is what he gave me to tell you to establish you.
So without Paul, all I have is the word.
Without Paul, you didn't have any you don't have anything. Because it was revealed to him. That's why he starts off and says, Paul, an apostle to you by the will of God. I have an apostleship for your obedience. Not just yours. Oh. All of y'all. And he says, that's why I can't wait to get there. Because what I have, you need.
So suppose he had nothing.
No, I said, if he had nothing, then, but he had everything. And, well,
Without Paul, the Romans had nothing.
Right. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God.
Like Mike said, they got saved. That's why he says, I heard of your faith. He said, now, we talked about this in other classes. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Let me get the question again. Without Paul, the Romans had nothing.
They were not established. They had salvation. That's it. So, you know what? Today...
Wait a minute.
Just let me finish, okay?
Okay.
Without Paul, the Romans had nothing. True or false?
False.
What did they have?
They had salvation.
What do you mean by they had salvation?
All right, look at chapter 1 again. You got Romans 1? Romans chapter 1.
But the only salvation they had was through...
We don't even have to guess at it. Look at Romans 1, verse 8.
All the servant of Christ okay.
He says,
Romans 1.
Verse 7. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be what?
Saints.
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 Grace
saints.
And peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that you have nothing. Oh, he didn't say that. I'm sorry. He said that your faith is spoken of throughout the what? Whole world. That's why he said, look, I long to see you to establish you now. They were saved. That's all they had. And Rome is Memphis. Rome is Michigan. Rome is California. Well, when I say that, is there's people all over the country that have faith to salvation, but they're not established. Because they haven't heard the rest, like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on. Because prior to Paul, you had the kingdom program being preached. And in that kingdom program, all they had to believe was that Christ was the Messiah. They didn't have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection for their salvation. We know about the death, burial, and resurrection through Paul. So, on what grounds, because they're not part of the kingdom, what grounds were they saved? Did it have to come through the message delivered to Paul?
You could, well, let me say this. Her question is this. Do you know who Aquila and Priscilla, who they are? Okay. There's people who would get saved. They got saved, and everybody wasn't just huddled up together. For example, before this, I lived in Michigan.
Before what?
Before living here, I lived in Michigan.
Okay.
Do you think when I got saved that anybody in Michigan that I preached the gospel to anybody in Michigan? Do you think before... Before I moved here, I was saved in Michigan.
Okay.
Before I moved here, do you think that I preached the gospel to anybody else in Michigan? If they responded in faith, they got what? They got saved. Now, that was 12 years ago. Plus, I may not have seen them again after that. But it's like, hey, you know, I met that guy in the bookstore like 30 years ago. Does he know everything that I know? Chances are not. So if I reconnect with him, and I was like, man, I would really love to see you, man. And I said, you know what, I'm a long way down the road from where I used to be. I got a lot more I can help you with now.
Okay, I see that.
That's what Paul's saying to the Romans. He's like, look, I haven't been there, but the word of God is not bound. It's not like he doesn't have to be there where people responded to Paul's message. And they took like Aquila and Priscilla. They were in one place and people would be all over different areas.
Okay, but
somebody who had previously heard
somebody exactly.
Okay, but wrong and probably converted somebody there and they started.
Exactly.
But through the preaching of Paul, even though it wasn't Paul directly, it was the message, the revelation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you said they were saved without Paul, and I'm saying, how could they be saved without Paul?
I misspoke that. I misspoke.
That's why I'm a little
without him being there physically.
Right, but it was still the message that was given through him by the Lord.
So now, before we go,
I'm lost on that portion because my thought is that they were saved because they believed what was revealed at that time.
Yeah. Hold that thought, James. Hold that thought.
Okay.
What you got, Bob?
Well, I'm this situation as far as Romans. I was always impressed that their faith was that they did believe in Jesus Christ, but they did not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection from the standpoint. That was a separation of them. To be called a saint means that, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. But did I believe that the death, burial, and resurrection and he died for our sins was a separate situation? That was the way I felt that the Romans were prior to Paul coming to teach them.
But then,
he came to teach them the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay, let me say this before we drift on off the scene. Remember, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, is that the gospel is about his son, period. So, the... Let me do this part. I might have pushed it.
Why don't you look real quick, see if the red light works?
I'll say this. In Acts 13, when Paul is separated with his ministry. Okay. The main thing about Christ has always been his resurrection. Okay? Before he could be resurrected, he had to be what? He had to be buried. Before he had to be buried, he had to die, right? And before he was dead, he had to be killed. You're right. So, he was killed, he was dead, they buried him, they resurrected him. Right? That's all. Peter said the same thing. Look, hey, you killed him, he's up. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, when Paul is going to persecute the Jews, they were saying, hey, this the Jesus you're talking about, he's up. And he said he was the Son of God. That's the big contention. Paul said, I don't believe that. There's only one God. I don't believe that. He meets him. Lord, who art thou? I'm Jesus. Oh. Okay. He says, so if that's the case, then everything those guys said is true. So, Acts 13, where he's like, no, I used to preach against that. Now, remember, he doesn't have all the information yet. The starting point for him is what?
He is who he said he was.
He is who he said he was, and he's resurrected. So, in Acts 13, he goes, when the Holy Ghost says, separate me. Acts 13, look at verse 26. 13:26. And we're going to have to do this quickly here. He says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. They killed him. He was dead. They did what? They buried him. But, 30, God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he did what? Raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, Jesus, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, what man? Is preached unto you the what? The forgiveness of sins. And by him, by who? All that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, he's starting off. This is his first public message after he's separated. What does he know? He knows what? And that you can be justified by what? By believing that he did it for you. He took away your performance.
I think what happens with a lot of this stuff is just, like, since it's a transitional period, everybody wants to just nail down, like, how are these people saved? And it changes so much during that time before, as he's gaining knowledge and people are learning and being established.
That's it. You start with the simple revelation, and that's why he said, when by the time I get there, I'm going to have what?
Resurrection, but the Romans didn't know about the resurrection. Who taught them about the resurrection?
That's what it, that's
why Paul taught at the beginning.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You can't say the word of God has to originate from Paul. Like, once the gospel is spread, like this, if I tell you, and then you tell her, and then she tells Mike, and then that's how it goes.
Could have been the tail of the road to Emmaus that walked on the road.
Yeah, you don't know.
But there's nowhere in this Bible
don't say that
says that someone told the Romans about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not in this Bible.
Let me say this.
I'll stand corrected. I shouldn't say that because that's coming off like
yeah, you should. First. You should not. You should not. Yeah, you should not say that. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this before we. Let me ask you this. This we just started with a verse. He says, "I thank God that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world."
Right.
Now, there's people that don't live in there. There's people in Jerusalem that heard about the faith of the Romans. So you can't say that there's no place in that they believed when he's telling you that what you believe they know about but way over here.
What is that faith? They could have faith in Jesus Christ. The faith in Jesus Christ was there, but there's a difference in having faith in the person, in total faith, you know.
We're going to stop right here. We're going to stop right here because I can see that there is something missing in the
interpretation,
the understanding. So let me stop the tape before we run out of time.
Well, but doesn't it say that he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection? So the whole world had heard that this man had resurrected. And the Romans believed that. They're believing he was the Son of God. Paul was going to come and give them a lot more information, but if they believed that, because when he came declaring, you know, all the prophecies in the Old Testament with him coming with healing and casting out, all these things, and in the end, he rose from the dead, which declared him to be the Son of God. And at that point, that's what they had to believe was that he was the Son of God.
They were all preaching the resurrection at that point, because if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about all the people who knew that he got up.
Right. There's no other message.
Always been,
that's the foundation of... Let's stop. Let's stop the tape. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray as we go forward just to increase in understanding and knowledge of your word and your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now.